You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We're talking this segment with Joseph Heumeier, who is Executive Director at the Center for a Secure Free Society. Joseph, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about an article you wrote for the Gatestone Institute about Iran's inroads into Latin America. Now, they've always had an interest in our hemisphere. They've been playing, I guess, bad games with some of the folks around there. But give us an update as to, you know, kind of how they're moving now and what their plan may be overall.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. First of all, for the invitation, it's always a pleasure to be on the radio. Well, I'd say one of the things that I think particularly that article wanted to highlight, and it's something that I've been looking at particularly recently. So I've been involved in looking at Iran's activities and their presence in Latin America for, I don't know, 5 years or going on more than 5 years now. And initially when I looked at it, I always, you know, saw it was, you know, it's something of concern. There's definitely more activity than one would think going on below the border. But as of recently, I'm trying to understand how important it is. Is it a side project for Iran, or is this actually the next frontier? And the more I look into the region and the more I look into this relationship, I kind of move into the direction I believe this is the next frontier. I believe Latin America is the future for Iran, and I believe that Iran has already laid the conditions in the region to be able to capitalize on that. The nuclear deal was big. The nuclear deal, aside from the money that they're going to get, over $100 billion that they're going to get for sanctions relief, is a legitimacy. The legitimacy is very important to them.
We're talking with Joseph Heumeier about Iranian influence and inroads into Latin America. They have committed terrorist acts in the region. Give us a quick reminder of what some of those were. And do you think that may be something in the future? Or like you said, have they moved to a new phase of this? And are they trying to maybe legitimize their alliances and actions in the region?
Yeah, well, Iran carried out Latin America's 9/11, which was in 1994. It was in July 18th of 1994 when they bombed a Jewish cultural center in Buenos Aires, Argentina. This attack killed about 85 people, injured hundreds, and it was actually not even the first attack. It was the second attack. The first one happened 2 years earlier, also in Buenos Aires, but that time targeted the Israeli embassy. So altogether, you have over 100 people dead. You have several hundred injured. And this was really Latin America's first big experience with radical Islam. And the attack was late. It wasn't initially determined who made the attack because the investigation was completely fumbled. But a decade later, they hired an investigator. Well, they appointed a special prosecutor, a lead investigator named Alberto Nisman, who made a very compelling indictment, about 700 pages of evidence that led to Hezbollah being the perpetrators of the attack, but commanded and controlled by the Islamic Republic of Iran. So that attack happened in 94. And, you know, that's 20 years ago or more, but it necessarily hasn't decreased. So the same people that carried out that attack are still active in Iran and are still using their power in Iran to be able to leverage in Latin America. What I meant for my earlier comments about the legitimacy is that, you know, Iran has the capability to do that at any given. They can do another Ami attack like they did in Buenos Aires. They can do several, I think, at this point in their juncture. But what I mean more is that I think Iran right now is looking at being able to push some of the bigger countries in Latin America towards their geopolitical orbit. I'm talking about the Mexicos, the Brazils, and obviously still the Argentinas. And I think that's what Iran has always wanted in the region. And what has held them back was two things. It was one, because they were looked at as a bit of a sanctioned rogue regime that doesn't necessarily have a history and isn't looked upon favorably in the international community. And they also obviously have that history of terrorism in the region. Well, both those things are starting to change gradually.
Now, another place in the region where there have been some problems is Venezuela. And I think there's been some concern that there's a pretty dangerous ongoing terrorist criminal enterprise there. And you've even questioned whether Venezuela should be listed as a state sponsor of terror. Explore for us a little bit what they've been doing and what the potential response from us and others should be.
Well, it's well known that Iran uses terrorism as its first line of national defense, and that their main proxy when they do engage in terrorism is Hezbollah from Lebanon, Lebanese Hezbollah. In Venezuela, over the last 10 years, Lebanese Hezbollah has gained a tremendous amount of presence in that country, even to the point that they have particular members of the Venezuelan government working on their behalf, or at least working in conjunction with them. Particularly between the years of 2007 to about 2012, there were these mysterious flights that would go in between Iran, Syria, and Venezuela that were essentially like phantom flights. No one really knew what was on them. They didn't really report to anybody. They were done by the state airlines of Venezuela and Iran. And there was a lot of rumors that there was Hezbollah operatives on these flights. We also know that during that same period, the former Minister of Interior of Venezuela was a person of Lebanese-Syrian descent, and that he had basically run a criminal terrorist network, a financial network, that allowed Hezbollah to be able to take advantage, to be able to produce immigration documents. Now, as the Minister of Interior, he had control over the immigration services, and they were able to provide visas, passports, national ID cards, and in some cases even birth certificates to these individuals coming from the Middle East to the Western Hemisphere. Now, what that concerns me is that's a legitimate function of a state. Immigration is a legitimate function of a state, but if you use that legitimate function towards criminal terrorist enterprises, there's nothing anything more clear than sponsoring or support of a terrorist group, which Hezbollah is still listed in the United States as a terrorist entity.
Let's talk a little bit closer to home. Our neighbor to the north, Canada, had an election, and the new prime minister has, if not a soft spot, potentially even an abiding interest in stopping some of the security measures related to Islamic infiltration of the country, Islamists moving around. He's very pro-refugee importation. And there seems to be now a concern that this could be another vector for infiltration to the United States.
That's true. I mean, we did a report at my center, at the Center for Secure Free Society, in mid-2014 that looked particularly at Canada as one of the vulnerabilities of this immigration scheme that was being concocted by Venezuela, Iran, and even Cuba with Cuba's support. And the major vulnerability that Canada had at the time was that they have a very lenient and very generous immigration refugee and asylum process. It's not that that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it's good that they're friendly to refugees that are escaping war-torn countries and problems, civil wars and all that. But the problem is that there's bad actors that are taking advantage of that kindness by the Canadian government and exploiting it to their benefit. And in the case that we looked at, it was particularly Iran. Iran at the time, I think between those same years that we were talking about before, between 2009 and 11, Iran was considered the country with the most improperly documented migrants into Canada that were seeking asylum. What that basically means is that those are the most amount of migrants that were coming into Canada with funny paperwork that didn't add up, it didn't really make sense, were coming from Iran. And that those were coming from Iran, they weren't necessarily going straight from Tehran to Ottawa. They were going through what they call prior embarkation countries. In the case of, in this specific case, they were going through Venezuela. So they were going from Tehran to somewhere in Venezuela and then changing their identities and flying up to Canada. And the Canadian authorities were aware of this, but they really didn't have any way to stop it. And I think that was a particular term. And that was back in 2012, around that time frame. Obviously there was a loophole that was identified by their own intelligence and border services. And now, with the new prime minister, I think they're trying to make it more lenient, which I think doesn't make much sense. I mean, the most logical thing would be to fill up the vacuum and fill up the holes first, and then look about how to improve your refugee and asylum process, not just accelerate the process without having to, with all the security vacuums that exist.
Thanks very much. We've been talking with Joseph Heumeyer, Executive Director at the Center for a Secure Free Society. Up next, Michael O'Hanlon of the Brookings Institute and I will solve all the problems of Iraq and Syria in a 10-minute segment. This is Jim Hansen doing Secure Freedom Radio.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.